full head of hair, Mr. Norman.
Yeah, I do.
You had a good set. Like me, I can appreciate it because I kind of have less hair, so.
Norman has a full head of hair, and I'd like to get your picture. So this is Janet Culler, and it's January 23rd,
yep.
2020, and I'm at the home of Monroe Norman Sr. and in Duval, and we're here with Monroe Norman Jr., his son, and Greg Giuliani, also from the Historical Society. So I'm just going to put this here, okay? And as long as the red light's on, it should be okay.
Okay. You're the director.
Well, I've had trouble with that before. So, if you could just start by telling me your name and your birthday and where you were born.
Monroe Norman. 8/15/37. Born up by Esmond, North Dakota, out in the country.
Okay, wow. Okay. Is that a German name?
What?
Norman.
No.
English?
English.
Okay. Like the Norman invasion?
Yeah.
Great. Can you tell me about your parents and your family out in North Dakota?
Well, my mother was born and raised in North Dakota until she got married.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 02. And then her and dad went back to West Virginia. He was from West Virginia. He was born there in 1876 on December 15th.
What were their names?
My dad's name was Okie L. Norman, and my mother's name was Mabel Domer Norman.
Mm. So how do you spell the name of that town you're from in North Dakota?
E-S-M-O-N-D.
Esmond.
Esmond.
Okay. And did you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
11.
Whew. Okay, and where are you in that?
I was number 9.
Closer to the bottom.
Yep.
You have any that are still living?
I got two sisters living, one in North Dakota, one in Minnesota.
Great. Well, what brought you all the way out here?
The government.
Uh-huh.
I got out of high school in 55.
Mm-hmm.
And got drafted in the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
All that was kind of at an end, but the draft was still going on. And then so I got drafted and I went in. And went to the induction center. They lined us up and it was Army, Navy, Army, Navy. And the Navy was drafting them.
So that's how they decided?
Yeah. No. And this kid that's standing beside me, he was from South Dakota. He said, I don't want to go to the Navy. I don't know how to swim. I said, well, let's trade places.
So you got the Navy.
So I got the Navy.
And that meant the West Coast.
Well, then I went to Great Lakes, Illinois to boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I went to, to Norman, Oklahoma, and then to Memphis, Tennessee to school.
Okay.
And I went to school for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up going to Hawaii and Midway Island,
mm-hmm.
and I was a plane captain on a Super Constellation radar plane.
Do you know what year that was that you went into the...
I went to...
Navy?
Went in 55.
Okay, yeah, the same year you graduated from high
fall.
School. Okay.
Monroe, when you were in school, what were you studying? Was this like electrical or...?
It was aircraft mechanics.
Okay, aircraft mechanics.
Wow. Yeah. And so, when did the Korean War get over?
Well, the
Korean War... It's still going on.
Yeah,
but when was that treaty
I think it
signed?
Kind of ended in about 54. It was right before I went in and got drafted.
Okay, or they drafted you anyway.
Yeah.
That's right. And you said that at that program. You said that you didn't have to go to the war because that was over.
Right.
But did you serve like 4 years then in the Navy?
Yep. 4 years.
Okay.
I was drafted for two, and I got to the induction center, and they told me, this drill instructor we had, he said to me, he said, if I make you a deal, he said, you go to school for 2 years and add 2 years to your enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, good deal. So I went to school for 2 years first.
So when you were out of the school, then you were in Hawaii and Midway.
Yeah, right.
In peacetime.
Right.
So to speak.
It was the only thing that was going on was the Cold War.
Yes.
And we were flying a radar picket line from Midway Island to Point Barrow, Alaska.
Okay. So you were like surveillance and just keeping an eye on things?
Yeah.
Do you feel that time was a good thing for you in your life?
Oh, yeah.
I
enjoyed it. And I didn't have no problems.
Did it serve you well later, that experience?
Well, in certain ways it did, yeah.
I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
In today's society, I feel like people not serving their country and going through boot camp and being exposed to some organizational discipline, I think young people, the youth or young adults, it's an experience that they're missing out on, and it is having an effect on the, I would say, society is a little less capable of handling adversity and lack a sense of unity.
I agree with that 100%. I think that the military, what I got out of it was to learn to take direction from somebody besides yourself.
You learn to become part of a team, really.
Yeah. So you've seen so many changes in society.
Oh, yeah.
And then from North Dakota, a small town, to out all over. So that's something. So when did you get out of the war?
I got out of the Navy in...
Our Navy.
In 59.
Okay.
November of 59.
And then what did you do?
Oh, I came up to Oregon and hung around there for about a month. Then came up here, came to Duval. There was a gas station downtown.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that owned it, he was a relative of mine, really.
Okay.
Through marriage.
Uh-huh.
He died, and they put his place up for sale.
Okay.
So I come up here, was going to buy it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got beat out, and another guy got it. What I wanted it for was, had all kinds of Model A and Model T parts.
Mm-hmm.
Had a big warehouse.
So.
Mm-hmm. So your brothers followed you here then?
No, they were here.
Oh, they were here already. Perry and
Elmer
were already here. So that was another reason to come to Duval.
Well, there was Perry and Elmer. And Walter, he was here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He milked cows for Jim Richardson's owner.
Uh-huh.
And then Oki, my other brother, he was here for a while. He milked cows for Rupert's place.
The Rupert's farm.
Yeah.
How do you spell Oki?
O-K-E-Y.
That was Grandpa's name, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He probably milked for Sam Rupert's parents.
Yeah, he did.
I haven't Granny. Heard that as a first name before.
Rupert?
No, Okie.
Oh, Okie.
I have a friend named Okie, but she is from Korea, and she was adopted, and they kept her name, Okehi. Okie. But I've never heard the name Okie before as a guy's name.
It's an old family name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's why you chose Duval. There were connections.
There was connections, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was 59-ish?
We'd been in 60.
60 when you came up. And so what did you find to do since you couldn't buy the gas station?
Well, I went to work at out of the labor union. As I worked in the ditches and laid pipe.
Ooh.
And then one day we had the guy that was doing the digging, he was a crane operator, and we had oilers in days. And the guy come to me, he said, "I'm going to quit tonight." The oiler did. I said, "Well, who's going to replace you?" He said, "I don't care." So I called up the business agent when I got home. I told him what was going on. I said, "I want to join your union." He said, "Bring $65 and be here at 8 o'clock in the morning."
This is in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went in the operating engineers.
What was the name of the union? Operating engineers?
Operating engineers.
And then they would send people wherever they were needed?
Yep.
Around, like, the county?
Well, we'd call a union hall to get somebody to go to work, and then they would send them out. And local 302 that I was in, they took in all of Alaska and Western Washington.
Wow. And your skill especially was equipment?
Equipment,
Like maintenance is what he studied in the military.
Yeah.
So
you were able to do that, use that.
Then I ended up running crane.
Okay.
It was a dredge, clam bucket dredge.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people I dug my way from Valparaiso, Peru to Nome, Alaska. I got called out of the hall to go to work for Manson Construction in Seattle. Well, they had a job in Venezuela. And so they shipped us down there and sent a crane down there.
What was the name of the place in Venezuela?
It was Valparaiso.
But that was Peru, you said.
Huh?
Is that Peru?
Peru.
Valparaiso, Peru?
Yeah.
Peru or Venezuela?
Well, he was his story is from Peru, but...
Okay.
But
so you worked internationally.
Well, yeah. See, the union, contractors were from the Seattle area, and they'd bid jobs all over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, what an experience.
Now, did you end up in Saudi Arabia?
No, I didn't.
Turned that one down.
Your mother turned that one down.
So when did you meet this lady?
My wife?
Yes.
Oh, let's see, that was in... would have been 61.
Out here in Duval?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Brown.
Okay.
And her first name?
Joy.
Joy?
Yeah.
Joy Brown.
Is that the Browns?
No.
Okay. They're originally from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Missoula.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Yeah.
They own basically the west half. I mean, that's where my...
Whoa!
That was in...
Mining or...
No, farming.
Farming.
Yeah.
They put in 5 acres of of greenhouses under glass. And my great uncle was a had a contract.
Botanist. He was a botanist that went to the Iowa State University, got his education, and came back and run the greenhouses there in Missoula.
And he provided flowers for Great Northern.
No. Northern Pacific.
Northern Pacific.
Ah.
All the cut flowers west of Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
Came out of his greenhouse.
Ah. Well, where did you meet Joy?
Or the trains.
Her sister and my brother were already married.
Okay.
And then I met Joy, I don't know, through a family deal, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So now, was that at the schoolhouse? Was that where you met her, or was it?
Yeah, well, Joan and Ed lived in the lower half of the old school up there. And then I was staying with them.
Okay.
So that's where I met Joy.
The apartments, you know, were
the old Cherry Valley Elementary School.
So Joan and Ed had rented that, and that was.
And that's was your sister or your brother?
Both.
It was my brother and sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's how you met Joy.
Yeah.
So tell me about Joy. Was that love at first sight, or was she difficult to catch?
No, she kind of took me under her wing and straightened me out.
Uh-huh. Did you need straightening out then?
Well, kind of, she sort of did.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't having no problem.
Uh-huh. So you went along with the deal, though.
Yeah.
She was all right.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, when did you get married?
We got married in August.
12th.
August 11th of 1960. What year was World Fair?
62.
That was the year we got married, 62.
I think you have a very good long-term memory.
Yeah.
And you also have really good hearing.
Well, I got my
earbuds. I'm glad you're wearing them. So how old are you now?
83 and a half.
Well, that's great. So how long were you able to be married then?
We were married 52 or 53 years. 53 years, I think it was.
Wow. And you lived here in this house?
Well, we built this house.
Ah, great.
She designed it and I built it.
She was talented.
Well, I'd come home from work and build on the house. And it took me a little over a year to get it done.
So. Wow. In your spare time.
Yeah. Well, in the summer, you get these longer days. So
okay.
Well, actually, so he started on Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and on Mother's Day, he had a cat rented, and we used to have a trailer house here.
Okay.
Anyway, and he moved the trailer house to one side, and he dug the foundation. Anyway, and then on New Year's Day of that next year, we moved in.
Wow. That was exciting.
Which was 1970 is when we moved into this
house. Yeah, that was fast.
And we were the first house with underground utilities, electricity and telephone.
Very modern.
That was by the time we moved from the house.
And you have a basement too?
No.
Yeah.
No, that's a crawl space.
Yeah, we just dug a hole so they could foundation.
And did you start out with a septic tank then?
Yep.
Yeah, because they didn't have sewer system yet till much more late, much later.
Yeah, about 20 years later, I think it was.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
So, how many children do you have?
Two.
Just two, after being from 11.
Yeah, probably being involved in a family of 11 children, probably you knew what it was like to have a lot of responsibility. Kids.
Great. So, Monroe Jr., are you the oldest?
No, he's youngest.
And who's the oldest?
Danny. He's actually was a stepson. Joy was married before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she came along with a son.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
But you liked him.
Oh, well, he's part of the family.
He's part of the family.
Yeah.
Good for you.
He was about 2 years old.
Aww. So is he still living?
Yeah, he lives down there. We're in South Carolina.
Henderson, South Carolina, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clemson University.
He does what?
Down by Clemson University.
Oh.
It was one of the last big jobs he had.
Okay.
He's drywall. He does.
Uh-huh. Okay. Everybody got a lot of skills, just like you.
Well, yeah.
Did you go into construction and practical things too?
Kind of.
Or just philosophy?
No. I've used to milk cows for coy.
Oh.
Anyway, and then they got the dairy buyout program, and I ended up sitting down at the tavern until somebody went ahead and hired me to go to work.
Yeah, they figured they better get you out of there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
Coy, C-O-Y?
Yeah. Margie and John.
It was a family here.
Yeah, right next to the grade school, there's the dairy.
Oh, the yeah, they're still barn. There.
Yeah.
And they're still theirs?
No.
No.
I don't know. They
no, they don't know.
It's Cherry Valley Dairy.
Yeah. I don't know who it's
changed out a couple times.
Who owns it now?
So all I know is that I was there, and anyway, and John came in one day and said, well, it's Monday morning or Sunday night, the cows are, you milk the cows, they go into a truck, and that's it, we're done.
That must have been hard to see him go.
Yeah, well, it was like 2 days' notice, it's like,
oh, the cows were leaving?
Yep.
Yeah, they sold them to Canada.
Oh.
There was a dairy buyout, and they were butchering herds of cows to reduce the milk surplus.
Well, and Lisa Allen told me there's a lot of problems with dairy. The regulations had changed, and the flooding, and...
Yeah. Well, this was prior to some of that.
Okay.
Yeah. This was just because there was...
And the market.
Market's the big deal.
Yeah. The amount of work and everything.
John got lucky and had a good herd and got a buyer out of Canada that bought everything.
Yeah. Wow. So you sat down there, and then who hired you next?
I went to work for Omega Contractors, Gordy Wagster. He's here. And then I was hanging out with Ernie Zumwalt, and he went ahead and said, well, the city of Bellevue's hiring. And I said, I don't need a job. And he says, well, you don't have to take it if you don't want it. And I said, oh, okay. So I applied, and they hired me, and so I worked there for 32 years.
You have many practical skills.
That was a good move.
Well, that was just because I didn't have anything else going on.
City job is good. So did you stay with the union your whole life, your whole working career?
Yeah.
Then was that?
No, I retired from the union in, it was 56. I retired 50 years. I've been... these 55 years. This next year.
Those were the days of union jobs, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you operate a wide array of machinery, or did you pretty much stick with the crane?
I kind of stayed with the cranes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Backhoes and cranes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, were you working for the union when you worked for Mick Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay, because he did dredging on the Snoqualmie here for Mick Anderson, right?
Yeah, Anderson.
Anyway, when they did a lot of the riprap on the corners of the Snoqualmie River. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, and when you weren't working for a union when you hired on with Anderson Bridge, were you?
Yeah.
That was the labor union?
That was labor union.
So when he first got here, one of the, you know, with, I don't know exactly when, but was it the first year or two, or yeah, what?
The first year I was here would have been 60. We built the, well, the bridge washed out down here. And, my first job on that with the union was down here, and I counted trucks. An outfit from Salton was hauling rock and dumping, you know, when you go across the bridge, get down off of the high rise to the flat part, the first flat part. Well, that's where it washed out across there. And we hauled rock in there and filled it in and then drove piling. But it was a hole there. Now, people won't believe this, but it was 442 feet deep.
Wow.
It scoured out underneath the bridge.
And previously, a logs got jammed there, and then the water started. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
So I sat down on the bridge and counted trucks. I'd bring them in and dump them and dump them. I had, I don't know how many thousand of them I put in there.
And this is big rock, too. This
There were rocks. A 10-yard dump truck will haul two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
That's what's in the bottom of that hole.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So you enjoyed your work?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah, and the people that you met?
Oh, yeah.
Met a lot of variety of different
people.
I
never,
situations.
I really never met anybody I didn't like.
Huh. Are you an easygoing person?
No.
No? Well, then they're lucky.
I don't know if you call it easygoing or just lackadaisical.
Well, laid back?
Relaxed.
Your son's scan, not really.
Or forgiving. You could be.
Well,
good.
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you're related.
Depends upon the day.
If you're related, then you have a different opinion.
Yeah.
Gosh. So when you first came to Duval, how big was it then?
I think 320 people was the population of Duval.
In, was it 60 or something?
Yeah, 1960.
I imagine the town, if you headed south, the town ended at the truck stop cafe.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a truck stop cafe then. That was Don Funk had a secondhand store there where the Armadillo restaurant Ken Sharp's dad and his and brother came to Duval and they bought Don Funk out.
I see, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the other end of town did it pretty much end at the bridge?
It ended, just past the bridge here, you know.
Well, there was Lucy's Diner. Was that still?
Lucy's was on this side of the road.
Okay.
And it was on the north side.
Yeah. What
town?
Where would Lucy's be today? What store is where Lucy's would be was?
Well, where Lucy's cafe was would be a parking lot for the day and night.
Oh, okay. The store. Okay.
So, well, no.
Which store?
Yeah, it'd be right across the street from Rocking E Feeds, that parking lot. Just north of Rocking E.
North of Rocking E.
Yeah. Well, that was the gas station there. That was Grove's gas station.
Okay.
Anyway, and that was the gas station.
Oh, that's right. The gas station was the big parking lot, and Lucy's was just north of the gas station.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Which became the day and night. That's what the day and night is. But
almost
I mean, that wasn't the Grove's gas station. That was the one you were coming to buy.
Well, Grove ended up with it.
Yeah, but I mean, that was
some outfit from Seattle bought it.
Day and night was the
anyway, but so then when was the laundromat put in, or was the laundromat there?
Well, that was a few years later. Gil 70s. Hackenbrook.
70s?
Gil Hackenbrook.
Earlier than that, I think.
Yeah.
Late 60s.
Yeah, I done.
Oh, yeah, Gil was a mason, wasn't he?
He was publisher of the paper.
Okay, I'm confused. All right.
Probably was a Mason.
Gil who?
Gil Hackenbrook.
How do you spell that?
H-A-C-K-E-N-B-R-O-O-K.
No, no, B-R-U-C-H.
U-C-H?
Yeah. Hackenbrook.
In hindsight, do you think it was a blessing that you didn't buy the service station and that you could go into the...
Right. I ended up in...
Machinery?
Yeah, heavy construction.
Yeah.
A bit more like... Yeah,
and
your
then,
skills.
You know, I retired from it. And that's what I live on now.
I
get a good pension.
They have a great pension. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
People don't get that anymore, you know.
Not like they did
then. Yeah.
That's right.
I sat on the negotiating committee.
That was kind of the golden age of unions when you were working.
Yes. So, and Hackenbrook had a newspaper, and what was the name of that?
Duval.
It was a Carnival
Reporter.
Okay, and that's on our website.
Yeah.
You can look at the old copies.
Anyway, he used to work for Leckenby Weeder.
Leckenby had a nursery up on the hill there.
Well, I thought that it was up on Cherry Creek.
Well.
Where the raw edge place is now. Anyway, if you go up the Cherry Valley Road, there's a, right at the creek, there's a raw edge wood place, and that used to
I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
It used to be greenhouses there. That was the Leckenbys. Anyway, and Gil Hackenbrook worked for them.
Wow.
You're talking about Tanya Bevan's place where the, she owns it. Okay.
Anyway, he lived in a little cabin on the back side of the...
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting story.
Well... So you knew a lot of characters that were here back then.
Did Duval?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was quite a few of us.
Can you tell me about some of your favorites or?
Well,
there
was Little Rock. He was kind of they hired him to be a policeman one time. Took his gun, took all the bullets away from him.
And, that's a good idea.
Then there was...
love that. Now, Little Rock, I've never heard of him.
Well, I couldn't tell you what his real name was.
He was one of the characters, but that's what they called him?
Yeah, that was the name he went by, Little Rock.
That's so
funny. He was from Arkansas.
Okay. Oh, that's why they called him Little Rock.
Yeah, okay.
I'd say maybe his dad was Big Rock.
Yeah. Who they named the road after, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's where they got that.
Brownie?
Huh?
Brownie.
Did you know Brownie?
N.A. Brown? He lived right up from a block east of Rock and Feeds.
What was his name?
N.A. Brown.
Okay, and they called him Brownie?
Yep.
Okay. What was he famous for?
I don't know. He was worked for the county for a long time.
But lived around here a long time.
Yeah, he lived here.
I always checked the payphone every time he went by.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever do that? Oh, there's no payphones anymore, are there?
No.
One payphone that I know of, and that's at Maidenbauer Bay in downtown Dallas.
I
do check it when you go by.
Were there any particular loggers or dairymen that were hellraisers?
Not out of line them days.
Oh, so are you saying what a person could get away with back then, you'd probably go to jail for now?
Yeah, worse than that. Yeah.
What was your impression of the whole town when you first came?
I thought it was pretty neat. It was an old town, and it had all the streets were gravel.
Mm-hmm.
We had no paved streets. Even the highway through town was gravel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what was attractive about it? like the people or the river or what?
I don't know.
Is that you had family here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
When did you live down at the place where you built the wall?
Oh, at the Doc Cowell house? That was right after I got out of the Navy.
So before did Ed and John moved from the schoolhouse to there?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Because that's where the corner of the Methodist Church, and just the north corner of the Methodist Church, used to be the used to be a newspaper in there for a while. What was that? The Valley something, maybe?
But,
anyway, they built a wall there.
You built a wall there?
I built a
center block wall.
Retaining wall.
It was Doc Cowell.
It's where the library is now.
No.
No?
North of there. Be below where the pharmacy is.
Oh, okay. Where
that
the pharmacy is
there.
Now. I got you. Yeah.
It was Doc Cowell was a dentist that was in there for years.
And that was part of your union work, is building the wall?
No. That was...
On your own?
Yeah. My Ed, Norman, Elmer, they were living there, and the kids would go out and play in the yard, and they'd go out in the street. So he said, well, I got to build the wall. So we got a bunch of cement blocks, and I built the wall.
Keep the kids in?
Yeah.
were you pretty good at masonry?
I thought I was.
Is that wall still there?
No.
No.
No, because they excavated that where the pharmacy is. That probably must have been 10 foot tall.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it way back. Cut it way down.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so many changes.
I was going to ask you, in the early days, when you and your family would go out to dinner here in Duval, what would be, where would you usually go to dinner?
Oh,
you have a favorite place?
No, we didn't. We really never went out much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'd go into Seattle and visit her folks and eat in there, you know. Go to a restaurant, maybe in there. But no.
Your parents were in Seattle?
No, Joy's parents.
Well, her parents were in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd go to see them. But there wasn't a restaurant much down here.
No. The only restaurant here was a...
Lake House?
Huh?
Lake House?
No. That was years later.
Oh.
There would have been... a truck stop.
Blaze Cafe?
They came later. It was a truck stop and Lucy's.
Mm-hmm. They're more like earlier in the day, coffee or breakfast.
They serve full course.
Full meals?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've seen a lot of changes here in town.
Yeah.
And so how would you describe, like, the different times? So you saw the 60s and the 70s. How would you describe that?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When in the 70s, the hippies started coming to town.
Yep.
How did that change Duval? Or what impact did that have on Duval?
Kind of more or less put a division in Duval.
Okay.
Before that, Duval was, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hippies come along and people shunned them, like they didn't want nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And then it just went like that.
It was kind of like a conservative and a liberal
right.
Parts to town.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge for you that were living here and raising families.
Right. When I was living here, there was used to be probably 9 or 10 little kids walk down the street and go to school.
Yeah.
Well, now today, I think there's one kid that walks down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's a younger generation that's coming in now
mm-hmm.
that's going to replace the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lull in there where there's no, you know, no kids.
Mm-hmm.
When he grew up here, there was you and Dan. And
yeah, 9 cousins.
So yeah. That's why they consolidated the schools.
And
they had to consolidate the schools.
Interesting enough is that one year they consolidated, they closed Cherry Valley and they sent us all to Carnation. Yeah, and I don't remember what year that was. Well, that was my 5th grade year,
mm-hmm.
I want to say. And then they went ahead and opened them back up. They were trying to save money, I think, at that time. That's the reason they closed
mm-hmm.
one of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that I've noticed, and I don't know how you feel about this, but as Duval, when you got here, you know, you knew most everybody.
Yep.
And as the town grew and people started to commute back and forth
right.
to work that on a greater scale, now I feel like I only know a few people
right.
out of the
right.
out of the, you know.
Right.
I used
population.
To know everybody in Duval.
Right.
Now today I got them all in one hand.
Yep. And I know it must be hard to see that kind of change.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But good to see energy, too, come in. Some energy and people able to spend some money. If they would just spend it out here, it would be good.
Yeah, well, I think the businesses in Duval have grown a lot in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So did you, with the hippies coming in the 70s, did you just kind of get used to it, or it kind of changed, or you got to know people gradually?
I got to know a lot of the
mm-hmm.
hippies,
mm-hmm.
and they were all just a different generation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
So many people stayed and were the artists musicians.
It was awesome.
So you got to know. And they were active in the community. You got to know them. Danny's done so much.
They more or less rebuilt the community.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that Gil Hackenbrook, this was a friend of Dad's, he was kind of, I wouldn't say a center, but he kind of gathered some of the counterculture people around him because he was pretty literate, I guess is what you would call it. I mean, he was very much into literature.
Yeah.
And he had gatherings where people would sit around and write poetry and it was kind of a literary
thing. And
there's
still a literary, there's still a big writing group here.
And Dad was part of that. I mean, he attended, some of that sometimes.
Oh, are you interested in writing?
No.
Or reading or listening?
I do a little bit of reading, not much.
Uh-huh.
I do a lot of sleeping.
Oh, do ya? Do ya? Wow. So you did get to know people, some of the newcomers, and adapt.
Oh, yeah.
And they change, and everything changed.
Did you have time for hobbies? I mean, you're raising a family, building a house, you're working. Did you go fishing or hunting?
I used to hunt and fish quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I had hunted elk and deer for 20 years.
Is that around up in the mountains here, or did you have to go to Eastern Washington? Or?
Oh, hunted elk over in Eastern Washington.
Okay.
And
moose in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
We had relatives up in Canada.
I had a sister. Mm-hmm. Sister that lived up in Saskatchewan.
Oh, way up.
Were you more of a river or a lake fisherman?
Oh, more of a lake fisherman. Mm-hmm. I used to fish the ponds in the out here in the bottom of the valley.
What types of fish?
Oh, after a big flood in the spring, we'd catch salmon and steelhead and all of those that would come in on the water. Mm. And then during the summertime, there was bluegill, which is and sunfish and crappie.
Mm. Wow.
How about the lakes up here, like Lake Margaret or...
No, these were the ponds, you know.
You didn't go up?
No. Mm-hmm. And fish down the valley, mm-hmm. catch all these fish, bring them up, put them in Larson mm-hmm. Lake up here.
And most of the ponds in the valley were formed by the river when it changed course and left a kind of a dead branch of the river.
Okay, you can see different
valleys littered with them.
Right, so there was Wallace's, which Dad used to work part-time for Wallace's in the evenings and afternoons and whenever he was. But Wallace's had a pond right on the south side of 124th. Used to fish that, and then there was Marty's Pond, and then
Knapp Pond,
which is right out here at the end of the river road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, those were the main ponds. But Dad used to go fishing and spent a lot of time with Gil Hayes.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Gil Hayes, they did a lot of. Gil was a county guy, was he?
He worked for the county. He was retired. He retired from the Navy and went to work for the county.
So anyway, Gil Hayes had the duplex on Stevens Street. So between 2nd and Broadway, there's a duplex on the south side of Stevens Street. You can kind of picture that.
I don't really have the streets memorized.
Yes, okay. I think so.
Well, you know where Matthew Donna lived?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one street south.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
There,
okay.
And there's the purple house in the corner.
Okay, I gotcha.
And then
I gotcha. I know where
that is. Yeah, anyway, that used to be Gil Hayes owned that and the house above it. Anyway, and he was a logger in this area.
Who?
Gil Hayes.
Mm-hmm. No.
He bought and sold a lot of property because I remember Beulah saying,
A real estate, independent real estate.
Okay. So, anyway, but he used to do a lot of steelhead fishing, and he got Dad down there doing that. And I remember if we were real good, and we can get up early in the morning, and we can go down, and they'd let us gather firewood for the little steelhead shacks that they built. As if we were real good.
Did you save and eat all your fish? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You froze it?
I had a smoker.
Smoked. Good. Yummy.
In the wintertime, when the weather wasn't right, would you guys get more time off so you could do a few things besides work?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Being in the
weather.
In the weather.
Yeah, impacted us. As when we built the Tolt River Dam up here. I don't remember what year that was.
Were you involved in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went up there. We had our equipment up on the high, up on the road up there. And one morning, it was in March, the 10th of March. Got up that morning and the yard looked like it does now. And I headed to work. I couldn't get into work, there was so much snow. Mm-hmm. By the time I got back to Duval, I had 11 inches of snow out in my yard.
Hey, could you tell us a little bit about working on the Tolt Dam? Did you start, at what point did you go to work on it? Were you involved in the clearing or the...
It was all cleared. All the big timber was cleared out. And we went in and dug out a lot of the stumps and any debris, hauled all the debris out.
You used a lot of dynamite?
Quite a bit, yeah.
But when was this?
Oh, it would have been late 50s, early 60s. I don't remember exactly what year it was.
Okay, quite a while ago.
Yeah. And then we got that all done and built the catch basin, or the holding basin up there. And
were you involved in doing any of the pipeline? The toll pipeline?
Yeah. Yeah, we put the pipeline in from the dam down to where the fire station is now. Mm-hmm. On that there.
That was probably a nice job because he didn't have far to drive to work.
It was close.
How did you like traveling all over?
I enjoyed it.
All over the world for your work.
Yeah, okay. Well, when I was traveling like that, other than Alaska, it was before I was married.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was kind of free.
Uh-huh. What did you enjoy like to do for fun together?
I don't know. A lot of gardening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Was there a place to go dancing or anything? Or?
No.
Did you belong to any organizations or churches or anything? Or?
Not really. We used to go to Methodist Church in Duval there.
Okay.
A few years.
Mm-hmm. What about veterans groups or anything?
No, I got out of service and I never looked back at the military.
Yeah.
At all. And until, I don't know when it was. It hasn't been very long.
Do you take part in the veterans' medical services now?
Yeah.
You do that?
Yeah. I do some of that.
Yeah.
Most of my medical insurance is everything is through the union.
Yeah. And that's so good that you don't really have to go down to the VA.
I don't have to go there.
Or anywhere. Yeah. Great. Wow.
Looking into the future, and you having been interested in a service station and automobiles, what do you think about these self-driving cars? Do you think that's going to work?
No. No, I don't think so. You got to have a brain in there somewhere.
You trust human brains?
Right.
You know, a lot of people have high hopes for that, but I talked to a guy that is extremely well-versed in electronic. He's at the top of the field in electronic engineering in the world. Mm. And he claims he doesn't, at this time, he doesn't see how car, because when a car sends a signal out, it takes a little bit of time, a fraction of a second, and in order to, it has to receive information back, and he's wondering, with all these cars communicating with each other, it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, even if it's a second.
Sure.
But if a lot of times, if you're going 60 miles an hour down the road, and a second can take you a long ways, so he. He's not convinced with our current technology, cars are going to be able to keep, be able to communicate well enough with each other in mass to be safe. So I thought that was interesting hearing
very
it come from somebody that really knows.
Really in the field, Wow. So when did you retire?
1999.
Okay.
Were you ready to retire, or did somebody tell you you needed to?
I tried to retire three different times,
Okay.
and I finally got them done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what have you enjoyed doing in your retirement?
Well, after I retired, I went to North Dakota, mm-hmm. bought a herd of cows, bought into a herd. My nephew had a bunch of them, and I got involved with them, and we had the biggest herd we had. One year we had 260 mm-hmm. calves.
And you kept them there?
They all were there.
Is this a cow-calf operation?
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that dairy?
Beef operation.
Beef, okay. Uh-huh. And did you live there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Joy and I moved there.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
We
bought
an old house.
Yeah.
A house that was built in 1902. It was a Chelsea house, it was called. It was a Sears and Roebuck.
Oh, that's great.
And
Right.
So
you had fun living there?
Huh?
You had fun living there?
Oh, yeah, we enjoyed it a lot.
They would live there part-time and then
come out here in the wintertime.
Come out here in the
wintertime. Very wise.
Yeah.
So the house that they bought there was an old house that I might have missed.
He's telling about the Sears and Roebuck house.
Sears and Roebuck house, right.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Anyway, and it was on a lady's homestead, a lady in homestead at that piece.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is different. I mean, a lot of women in homestead.
Yeah, she had 3/4 of land there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you have a big family.
Yeah, we did then.
Yeah. So keeping track of all of them is a big thing. And it's something to do in itself. And
so, let's see. Anyway, and so they used to move back and forth and go back and forth, and they had a cat that they went with them all the time.
She was 18 when I had her put down.
Anyway, but she would hop in the car and go. More than happy.
Amazing. Amazing.
She knew when we were getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
And she'd go out and the car door was open. She'd go in and sat in the car.
She had a cat that loved to go on car trips.
Oh.
And went to North Dakota with him. Amazing. Just hop in the car. Let's go.
Yeah.
One year we were coming out and I was bringing my pickup. Mm-hmm. And Joy had the car, and the cat was in the car. And when I was going down the road, Joy would be behind me. Mm-hmm. The cat would lay up in the dash, mm-hmm. looking out the front window. Well, when Joy had passed me and get ahead of me, the cat would go in the back window of the car and look out the back window at me. So
keeping track.
So when, Joy is gone now.
Yeah.
Okay, and so she didn't live as long as you.
Not quite.
Mm-hmm. When did you lose Joy?
December 23rd, 2016.
We're not sure about that. Let's see.
Four years ago.
Right after Trump was elected.
Oh, I couldn't. I don't know.
I don't know if it was 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
We have to figure that one out.
Had she been ill?
No, she hadn't. She had kind of cancer of some kind for about 7 years, but it was kind of malignant. And
I mean, it wasn't a big obstacle.
She could have
whatever that word is.
Yeah.
So she got to be Kurt pretty comfortable and.
Oh yeah, she was. With we traveled back and forth, and mm-hmm. the last year, she.
It was only about 4 or 5 months, really.
Yeah, it was about 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She started getting sick, and then.
And you took care of her then?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. I bet you were good. at that. You had to learn. Yep. Had to learn. Wow. Well, I'm sorry that you about your loss. It's nobody wants to be the one to have to say goodbye.
Well, we both lived a good life, so.
Very, very blessed that way.
We didn't have no one.
Yeah. And are you still going back and forth to North Dakota since then?
I was back there when?
So he did go back and forth a couple of years, or a year or so, and then he moved back.
Moved into Veterans Home.
There's a...
In Lisbon, North Dakota.
Yeah.
Was there.
We went in June.
Yeah.
And we brought you back this spring. So it would have been not June, but the previous June.
Wow.
So 2 years ago. Year.
How's your health doing now?
My health?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's doing very good, but everybody tells me I'm doing better than I was.
So you had a low period, now you're...
Yeah. I had a stroke.
Okay.
On Martin Luther King Day 2 years ago.
Okay. People can gain back quite a bit, can't they?
Oh, yeah.
Working hard at that.
It's the lamb that he's been eating that really helps him recover.
And he worked for the lamb people.
No, it's his lamb.
I sold him a lamb.
Oh, it's your lamb. You raise lambs?
It just is a lawnmower.
Ah!
That's my contribution.
Yeah.
Contribution to climate
change. Yes, absolutely.
Instead of using a lawnmower.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Just bring them over to my house. Yeah. We have just a little bit of...
That's what we've done in North Dakota, too.
Absolutely.
And two of them.
Yeah.
But,
good.
Yeah, why not?
So, my cousin, my dad's nephew, who works in Fargo, he works at the sale house,
livestock auction.
Yeah. Anyway, and so what happens is that usually there's usually animals that come in that don't make it or are in pretty bad shape or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he usually ends up with a lamb or two. Mm-hmm. And so then he calls dad and they call dad and mom and dad and they bring the lamb up.
When they come to visit?
You just bring it up.
When they live there.
And then they would go ahead and they'd take care of it and raise it and then throw it out in the yard and let it mow lawn all summer and then butcher it in the fall. Mm.
Hey, did I miss out on the conversation? Did you guys talk about how your beef herd did long term? Did you stick with that for quite a while?
I was with that for about 18 years.
Uh-huh.
The same essential herd?
Yep.
So
we never bought a cow and put it in the herd.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We raised all of them.
You maintained, yeah.
Now, were you using a bull or did you guys do AI?
No, we used bulls.
Okay. Livestock market would go through these cycles, 4 or 5 year cycles, where you'd make money and then you'd break even or lose a little?
Right.
North Dakotans know a lot about that.
Yeah.
So they actually went out and bought.
We buy bulls.
A couple of, they paid. What'd you pay for bulls?
An average bull would pay around $4,000 to $5,000. We had one that paid $18,000 for.
What breed?
We're Red Charolais.
Red Charolais. Okay. How did you decide to go with that breed?
Well, Tom already had them.
He had the foundation herd.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were foundation was a Hereford, and that's why we kind of stayed with the red.
Okay.
Red white faces.
Okay, but now that's not the red white face. That's different than a Charolais.
Well, we had red white face. Cows.
Okay.
And then you got Charolais bull.
Okay, okay.
Charolais with a C?
Yeah, C-H-A-R-L-L.
And then, see, after I it took about 4 years, and then I change over to Red Angus. Mm-hmm. Start with the Red Angus bull.
Okay, all right. That sounds like a nice cross.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
And you sold, did you sell at the livestock markets, or
yeah,
how did you sell your beef?
We sold at the livestock market.
But you also
all yearlings.
Mm-hmm. But you also bought into a co-op, right?
Well, that didn't work out.
But you did. You
yeah, I tried to get into a co-op that would market the cattle for us, mm-hmm. but it didn't work out. So,
did you ever sell any yearlings out of state, or did you?
Oh yeah.
Because I think the market would be better out of state than it would be in
well,
North Dakota.
Our herd, our yearlings, we usually got rid of them about the middle of February. Mm-hmm. And Simplot.
And that's because the price would be the strongest when the grass is coming on?
Well.
Or why February?
Because that's when they were had reached their prime weight.
Okay.
About 800 pounds. Mm-hmm. See, and then they go on the grass all summer.
Yeah. And you had to get rid of them before the next calving.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, to make room.
Anyway, Simplot, you sold a whole.
Oh, Simplot, they came 1 year. We used to take them to market down by Mandan. I can't remember the name of it. But anyhow, Simplot was there 1 year, and he looked our herd over. So the next year, they came out to the farm.
Just bought them direct.
And bought them right off the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Loaded them up there and unloaded them at Walla Walla.
Yeah. Less stress on the livestock and no sales commission for you.
Right.
Yeah.
And all, they put them in a truck and next stop was Walla Walla.
Walla Walla. Uh-huh.
They went in a feedlot out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monroe, just maybe kind of wrapping up questions. So what would you say you're most proud of, looking at your life?
Well, I guess it would be my family.
Mm-hmm. You have to say that. Is he sitting
here? Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
That's good. That's wonderful.
I was going to say, it sounds like you treated people pretty good. I mean, the way you got along with your fellow mm-hmm. man, you said you rarely didn't like somebody.
Mm-hmm. I never run into anybody I couldn't tolerate. Uh-huh.
You enjoyed many things. You enjoyed work, you enjoyed your hunting and fishing, and your whole cattle business. Very interesting.
Except for getting hit by a cow and breaking your hip.
Oh, well, that was...
Did you get kicked?
A
no.
bull?
It was a cow. She was a late calver. Her calf was only about 5 months old, I mean. And was moving them from one pasture up to the farm. And I had them all loaded except that cow. And we'd haul the calves off on the other truck. Well, I got her into the trailer and reached up and shut the gate on the trailer, and she seen a little crack of daylight, and she opened the gate, and I had a hold of it. Well, I went for a ride up in the air and landed over here. Well, she seen me. She came after me, and I started climbing this. It was a steel rail fence.
Yeah, outer fence, yeah.
And I got about halfway up, and when she hit me right in the set down, drove me up the fence, threw me up in the air. I could look down and see all the cattle, everybody.
Woo! You were up there.
Came down and I was headed down. I looked down and it was that steel rail.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of cut a little windage and got off of it. And I hit the ground, I hit with the hip and broke the
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what an experience.
So then,
they got the two guys that were helping me. We got up, and Gene said, "Are you hurt?" And I said, "No, I ain't hurt, but my hip is broke." "How do you know?" I said, "Well, I know." So I said, "Call Joy." And she can come down and pick me up down the farm and take me up to the doctor. So she came down and they loaded me in a pickup and we went to up to Rugby, North Dakota, to the hospital. And the doctor x-rayed it and everything. He said, "I can't see nothing wrong." And the nurse said, "Well, them two pieces of bone should be together, shouldn't they?"
Thank goodness the nurse noticed. Looked at the x-ray.
Then they loaded me up and sent me on up to Minot to the hospital.
Did you have to have surgery?
Yeah. Yeah, they put a metal piece in it.
So that took a while to recover from all that.
Oh, I don't know. That was in November. September. And I stayed there through October. And then I drove back here and stayed here all through the winter. So.
Well, looking back at how Duval has changed over the years, what advice would you give to people moving here today?
Carry on. That's about all I could say. I can't tell, I don't know. I don't see no change, room for change. It's, either good or bad.
Do you have any hopes for the town here?
Oh, I just kind of hope it stays here.
It looks like it's going to.
Yeah.
Right?
So.
Good. Well, I thank you so much. And any other last thoughts of advice?
Oh, I have one more question.
Sure.
So as a youngster, usually at least there's a major prank or something that you did that was a lot of fun, but you wouldn't do it again. Anything come to mind that you were involved in as a kid that maybe you and your buddies did? That
toe on the outhouse, or the outhouse upside down in the school, or...
Or crazy car chases, or...
Oh, well, I was growing up in North Dakota. We didn't know anybody had cars.
Oh, so you grew up with horses.
Yeah.
So they take the cow and hook it to the buckboard.
Yeah. We had an old Holstein cow. We used to put a rope around the neck and tie her to the buckboard. She tow us up the hill. And get up the hill. And hook her. And we get into the buckboard and had ropes to steer it. And you'd ride down the hill to the gate out into the pasture. Well, one day was coming out through there, and my brother, Oakie, was steering. And our gate post and railroad ties. He hit that railroad tie dead on.
Oh, man.
My sister, Arky, and...
Helen?
No. I think it was Carol. Was in the... sitting in the back of the buckboard. But when it hit that post, they both went flying.
Woo! But they survived. They survived.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun, riding that buckboard down. You guys use the brake a little bit to control speed?
There was no brake.
No brake, whoa.
Are you kidding?
It was North Dakota, they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Flat.
Yeah.
So when you're talking hill, how much elevation gain over what? What distance was this, like?
Probably 10 feet and 100 feet.
Okay.
About half of that. About 5 feet and 100.
So you couldn't really hurt yourself unless you fell off or hit something.
Right.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway, and then there was the guns. You found the guns when you were in school. The box of Spanish pistols.
Oh. Ooh, in the schoolhouse?
No. It was there. It used to be a trail that the Army used to go from Fort Totten to Fort Stevenson out across North Dakota.
Okay.
And they'd haul their supplies and everything. And out in the river breaks, I found a box. It had six pistols in it, all in cosmoline, everything. How long they'd been there, I don't know. Picked them up and took them, turned them into the Historical Society.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't exactly that. Played with them at school.
And where were what were they for, from? What era?
Well, they were from Civil War era.
Oh my gosh!
Wow, those would be worth some money. These.
Yeah, that's great.
So they split them up and they were playing cowboys and Indians at
school. Oh sure.
And then the school folks took them away.
The teacher noticed and said, "Huh."
Was there any ammo that came along with these pistols?
No.
Okay, well, that's
wow. Wow. A lot of history there in North Dakota.
It was different.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you grew up in the Great Depression?
Yeah, 1930s.
Yep.
In the 30s and 40s.
On a farm?
Yep.
Yep. So you did okay because you could raise your own food.
Well, yeah, we always had a big garden.
Yeah.
4 or 5 acre garden.
Yeah.
Lots of canning and preserving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody worked hard.
You were pretty much self-sufficient back then. Buy your coffee, maybe buy your coffee.
Buy your staples and
sugar.
Yeah.
Coffee.
You had chickens and hogs and
right.
Beef, dairy cow or two.
Yep.
Lamb.
Yeah. Wow.
Good.
Well, thank you so much. And.
All right.
I just wish you the very best. I think you're doing wonderfully. So, I appreciate your time. See if I can figure out how to